Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
CNBC's Big January continues with the JPM Healthcare Conference, the Amex Golf Tournament, Inauguration Day, and the World Economic Forum in Davos. Get ahead of the game. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
All right, let's go. The Roller with Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN. Happy hump day to you. We're going to get over the hump today. Got plenty to talk about. 49ers running back Chris McCaffrey got paid again. He continues to shine and really set the standard, right, for running backs in this league. Hoping to reach really where he is at this point. Don't know how many can. C.J. Stroud had some things to say about Aaron Rodgers. I was just telling John about that off air. Really liked what he was saying about Aaron Rodgers' time in Green Bay and who would have won more Super Bowls had he been on those Green Bay teams. Thought that was interesting. All of a sudden, you got a C.J. Stroud. I ain't scared to say a thing, especially when it comes to how he feels. I like it. Trevon Brazil is off the board. I don't think John's surprised there. Guess what? New mock draft out over at The Athletic. Won't tell you who they've got going number 9 to the Memphis Grizzlies in their latest. Lakers apparently have zeroed in, John, on their top candidate to replace Darvin Ham. We will talk about that. A lot going on. But I will say this. Grateful for our one Colorado listener yesterday who took my advice and watched the show Eric, which I had mentioned in our segment with Jessica Benson, which is slowly starting to become an arts and entertainment segment.
It is.
And I want to tell that I appreciate that brother for watching and what he said. Said Jason was great.
Yeah.
Appreciate your Rick. And you should do a segment with Show and Movie Ricks.
Show
appreciate
and Movie
you Rick. For listening from Colorado. If nobody else. Because listen, sometimes folks aren't listening to me. When I tell Brad or I tell Drew that you cannot get Bally's on YouTube TV, are they listening to me? I was just hearing Drew the same thing. Am I going to go to YouTube TV? What am I going to do? Guys, I'm telling you, you can't get it there. You'll have to still get the app.
I don't care. I've given up on that is what I'm trying to tell you.
Okay. Somebody's a little defensive today on this Wednesday.
Jason doesn't think I'm a good listener.
Well, Drew, too. I've been screaming this for the last month.
Y'all need to hash this out. Y'all need to go ahead and do it now.
I've been listening to Jason for a month, John Martin.
It's like a little boy screaming, and no one's listening.
Right. Jason
So I just like, want to be, because when I heard Drew again today, I said, well, maybe I'll go to YouTube
there
TV.
There continues to be a confusion.
Because I can't see Grizzly.
I love YouTube TV. I've been using it for three or four days.
Bally's is all I'm saying.
Jason, yeah, he just wants you to know that it's not going to happen.
So I don't want Bally's, is what I'm saying.
But you won't be able to watch Grizz.
I know.
There was talk. Amazon bought Diamond.
There's many moving parts going on.
So there's a chance that I don't know if it would be in time for next season that you'd be able to watch these on Amazon Prime.
I listen to it on the radio.
But I don't know. And I don't have a contact at Amazon. I am a shareholder, but I don't have an up top contact.
Yep.
So
very calm on this side.
No,
just want to be heard.
Again, it's getting hot outside. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of change. You know, a lot of change 2-4. You know, NBA property. A lot of change going on in the world, and it's hard to kind of keep up.
All sound defensive
and evolve. and evolve. And I understand, you know, it can be difficult to keep up. And we're all doing our very best every single day.
Listen.
We have a very big show today. Looking forward to it, as always. Rachel Phillips is going to join us from local Memphis. She is our Australian friend earlier this week.
Is she already a friend?
Yes. Oh, yes, definitely.
Okay. You guys are already tight.
Well, I don't know. We'll see. I guess we'll have to try that out. This will be the trial to see how much of a friend she is. But she was out there at the golf course earlier this week where Penny Hardaway spoke. And you know, I think the word of the day, defensive. He was certainly defensive. Mm-hmm. And, you know, she asked some very good questions. And so, hey, she's new to the market. Let's have her on. Let's get to know Rachel Phillips a little bit.
I'm looking forward to it.
I would like to sort of understand how someone from Australia winds up covering sports in Memphis, Tennessee.
That's a long
journey. You know what I mean? Is she a basketball fan? You know, like, is she a big AAC football fan? I mean, is that what you grow up in Australia watching? I don't know. I'm just curious.
Is that 1, 2, 3 on your questions for her?
Yeah, I think, like, rank AAC football, AAC basketball, NBA, like, where sort
we're going to get
John, she's a graduate of the Arizona State Cronkite School.
Cronkite. So, I mean, obviously very prestigious university and prestigious academic program there. So we'll get to know her. Get to know her how she ended up applying her trade in the United States of America. So looking forward to that. Also talk a little Memphis Tiger basketball, her thoughts on the exchange with Pity on Monday. That'll be at 11:25. At 1:25, the one, the only, Norton Hurd IV going to be in the stew? In stew?
He's in Vegas.
He's Pangos. At the library. He's at the library in Vegas.
Pangos camp. We know about his hectic schedule. And
he'll
be joining us.
I got to say, I'm not exactly thrilled with that, given the fact that this is my first week back.
He's not putting off what he's got to do with Nike and Pangos and all these other camps he's got to be at just for you and your return from paternity leave.
Well, I mean, again, that says a lot about our relationship.
Paternity sabbatical?
Yeah, that says a lot about us. So, anyway, we'll talk to him by phone about what's going on out there, catch up with him.
Yeah, we got to get you caught up. They're finished with the regular season.
Oh, the team
they will be among the top two, top three seeds in the Peach Jam. We had advanced.
So they
remember those days, man?
Yeah, I do.
When we used to go together. Lose the recorder in the car.
Yep.
Listen to Big Crit in your Ford.
Big Crit in the old Ford Fusion.
Remember them days?
Yeah, dude.
Remember when the air ran out?
We had a good time.
See, we were long buds before we got on this show.
That's right. People really
long partners.
People really don't know.
They don't know how far
we didn't know at that time.
Yeah. I lost my damn recorder in there. It was under the seat. You found it later. Remember that?
Yeah.
It had very valuable Peach Jam quotes on it.
I remember I really impressed you with one article in particular that I wrote for the CA at the time, which was like, was it Rondae Hollis Jefferson?
Yes. I think it was Dan Walken that you really impressed.
Oh, it was Dan Walken.
You,
okay, yeah,
that
yeah.
really touched your heart.
You never really wanted to give me the props there. I think he was from Chester, Pennsylvania, which is also where
it was
Tyreek was from.
You had done very well tying
and now
those
he's,
two things
now,
together.
Now he's Kobe Bryant in Jordan. Now he's...
Weirdly. Still playing, though.
Yeah,
Is he overseas?
He's got to be, yeah.
Somewhere, yeah.
But yeah,
those were good days.
Rondae Hollis Jefferson went on to basically be like a Kobe Bryant impersonator.
Pretty much. Haircut and all.
Yeah, everything.
I mean, Slick looks like him.
No,
play him in a movie,
it's
probably.
It's intentional.
Yes.
Better, and it would be better casting than the clipped casting. That's going to be a big problem.
I like Fishburne.
The rest of it's ugly.
No, we said Ed O'Neill is Sterling's probably good. I don't. The rest of it,
the players. You got to look at the players. They say the guy they cast to play Steph looks like Dak Prescott, and they made Clay Asian. I mean, you just.
Oh no,
we got spoiled with the Showtime cast.
We've only got so much money.
Yeah, clearly.
And Fishburne had to get a lot of it.
That's right. And Ed O'Neill probably had to get a lot, too.
I would imagine that's the bulk of the NIL there.
That's right.
Yeah.
And they did, and it showed. So we'll see. Everybody can't be Showtime. I understand that. So anyway, that is the show today.
All right.
Looking forward to it. But we would be remiss if we did not start the show with Caitlin Clark. Caitlin Clark, ladies and gentlemen. Please, please, please.
It's the headline on 92.9ESPN.com.
Caitlin Clark is the WNBA. How about that? You like that?
I'm not doing
cap it. Cap or no cap?
No,
I'll leave. I need a day off from Caitlin.
We're just kidding. We're going to do a little thing we call over-under. Let's go.
It's Jason and John's over-under. Over. Over. Under. Under.
I am here to listen.
Brad's here to listen, baby.
I hear you. I just want to help.
I will listen to anything y'all say every day from 11 to 2. Over under number one, gentlemen. Seasons that the great J.J. Redick from ESPN will last as the head coach of your Los Angeles Lakers. The number set, 1.5.
Over. Under.
First of all, do you think that's a good number?
1.5?
Yeah. Do you think that's like a, was that, would that, we, would, is that a fair market number just before we get into
it? I think it is for LeBron's coach.
Yeah. Okay. So
that's who we're talking about here. It's exactly. LeBron's coach.
So 1.5 for J.J. Redick as the Lakers coach. Here's a clip. We have a clip that he appeared on with Mike Golic, father and son.
Yeah.
And he was obviously asked about the report from Shams that I believe it was the Lakers are zeroing in.
Yes, yesterday.
On J.J. Redick. Yes. And this was his response.
We can't ignore the elephant in the room here. We've been so much speculation about your future in the last couple of weeks. The Shams report comes out yesterday. So is there any truth to the reports out there? And just in general, your interest in coaching in the future that's been brought up relative to the Los Angeles Lakers?
I would say this. My focus right now is on calling the NBA finals. I am so fortunate that I'm in this position and I get to call these finals with Doris and Mike. And I mentioned the State Farm thing that I just did on YouTube. My day-to-day right now is consumed with calling games, the 19 different podcasts I feel like I have, my obligations to all of our partners. So my focus is on the NBA finals. I will say that. In terms of Shams, that will be addressed once the season is over. So I'll just say that.
There you go. Yeah. Mysterious.
Okay. You know what? That's a great radio, old-time radio tease right there. Well done on that. And also, feel free when you want to address it. We're right here for you if this is the place you want to address it.
Yeah, we know you've got a lot of outlets, JJ. Yeah. You know you got your own podcast and stuff like that. Yeah. But we really feel like when you want to break some news, we can be the platform to help you do that, all right?
All right. All right. I don't mean any job. I mean Shams after the season.
Ooh, just Shams we'll in particular.
One.
Okay.
We'll wait on that one.
Okay.
We'll wait on that one.
All right.
Yep.
So that's J.J. Redick basically confirming that he will be the next head coach of the Los Angeles Lakers, one. And then secondly, a very almost, I don't know, menacing, you know, I'm going to deal with
Shams. What was that?
I don't know. He clearly is miffed, but, I mean, J.J., of all people, should know how this business works, considering he's in it now.
That you don't control that.
Right. Agents talk. And did you really think that if you were going to be the next Lakers coach, that was going to be kept under wraps until you finished the job?
Maybe because of now his connections with LeBron, he thought he now wielded that power as well.
Yeah.
The ability to control the narrative.
Yeah. It's not the way it works, buddy.
Not for you.
I don't know what he is going to say or do to Shams, but, you know, I'm sure he'll admonish him like he likes to do. Mm-hmm. JJ likes to give you that Coach K lecture. You know,
but the only way you can do that is if you
let somebody finish the job before
what are you going to say? Don't like that you were, you know, trying to be first. It should be about accuracy.
Exactly.
I mean, the only way you can get on him is if he's wrong, right?
Well, that's I will say that is the part about JJ that I really, and this is separate of the conversation.
I still really like JJ.
But it's like, then he started getting into this, like, he's always on his damn soapbox, right? He's always preaching about how something should be.
You can wonder if successive podcasts, adds to that ego.
Yeah, no question. In terms of basketball now, I think he's great on the call. I think he's great, you know, just on that podcast that I know you can't understand because it's just a higher level of basketball.
Yeah, it's
just
too high for me.
You know, sideline, out of bounds, plays, you know what I'm saying? Again, that's for me.
And I'm not a wine drinker.
It's for the analytical mind.
Get by the fireplace.
You know, you guys want to argue about, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, exactly.
Right. I get it.
Yeah. but I, in terms of the part about him that I don't like is how he everything's according to JJ, right? The world according to JJ, that you can't break news or you can't have this opinion or who did he was going at somebody when he started on First Take. Was it Stephen A? Like, he would go at Stephen A, you know, and he would say, you know, you guys always, I don't appreciate that part of it. Like, don't try to lecture. I don't come in here trying to tell you how to do your job as a basketball player. You know, you're new in my world. That's separate. 1.5, I'm going to say under. I'm going to say under. Just because, why would I say over? What evidence do I have? I mean, do I think he's a great basketball mind? Do I think he's a great, former basketball player, sure, but that situation in L.A. is rough to me. Now you're going to draft Bronny for sure. I don't know where, but you'll draft him for sure.
Yeah.
Just to keep LeBron. I mean, this is all for LeBron. It's like, okay, we're going to get your podcast, buddy. We're going to get your son.
And he's going out of his way to try to change that narrative. Says he has no, you know, he's not. He's allowing the Lakers to do this on their own. He doesn't want to be a part of it. Let him tell her that. We all know that's spin.
Yeah, I mean,
that's all LeBron's spin. He has all the control.
No, I saw the tweet.
That's why Darvin Ham's not the coach.
Exactly.
They're trying to change the story right now to make it look like this is not so obvious.
They hired your co-host.
But they're hiring his co-host.
Come on,
And again, a guy who has no experience whatsoever above like the grassroots level and the ground level of that, not even coming down. I mean, it's almost a slap in the face to Penny
in terms of
JJ's level of, grassroots coaching is. And so, no, I go back to Steve Nash. He lasted 2 seasons and 7 games, I think, something like that, until the next season. So
he went over.
Look, in the end, this is going to be about how long LeBron James thinks he can win a championship with J.J. Redick as coach. Now, he's got Father Time that he's working against.
Yep.
Right? How much longer can LeBron James go? Even if he opts back in or whatever, does restructures the deal, goes 1-1, I don't see it going over 2. And then if you were the Lakers after LeBron, post-LeBron, right, and this hiring has been so LeBron-centric.
Yes,
if you are AD, who is the future, you want to go? You want to go on without LeBron's guy? I mean, I just say all those factors. I'd say point to less than 2 years. Darvin Ham got less than 2 years. It's about winning championships. He made a Western Conference Finals and was gone by year 2. And so you won't get a long time. You're tied to LeBron. I just don't think it'll last 2 years.
Yeah,
I think this will more go the way of Nash and maybe even shorter.
Exactly. It's not about JJ to me. It's more about, okay, you're stepping in as a first-time head coach to a situation that's incredibly volatile.
Exactly.
You know?
And basically where the roster will dictate that you can't win a championship.
Exactly.
We've already seen that LeBron and AD by themselves alone can't win a championship anymore in this West. Can't come out of the West, basically.
Yep.
And so because that roster and the way that it is, you won't win. You're set up failure. We said that about Darvin Ham, basically. He was set up for failure. It's not going to be different for JJ.
I would say this is serious
roster construction.
Right.
And how much can you do, again, around LeBron and AD? Not much.
I would say anybody that the Lakers could get, the answer would be the same. Under 1.5, right? There's no coach they could hire.
And that probably should be the first point.
It's just JJ, whatever.
I have some great confidence in JJ, again, coming into a situation like that. But you're right. The situation itself is set up for failure, probably no matter who's in it.
Yeah, I mean, can I say that JJ will be better than Darvin Ham? I have no idea. I have no clue, you know?
That's going to depend more on the roster, whether he gets to a Western Conference Finals like Darvin Ham did.
Yeah.
Still got fired.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, and that's the truth. I mean,
this one now is broken. It's
LeBron,
not going to work.
You probably have 2 years max with LeBron, right? I mean, he's 40 years old.
I mean, at this level, I would think.
And who knows?
A level of a second guy, first guy.
Yeah.
You know.
And I'm not sure what this level of LeBron really gets you anymore. I mean, they lost in 5 in the first round this year. So is it like really tailing off now? Is it like really, you know, that roster again?
I thought it looked good on paper going into the season. It wasn't.
Right.
Clearly.
Right.
And D'Angelo showed at the end of the year.
Exactly.
He ain't the guy.
Rui kind of turned into a pumpkin again. I mean, it is what it is.
Now, speaking of that, we didn't get the audio for this, and that's on me, but did you see him talking about how much he misses being the running mate of Kyrie?
I did see that.
It's just sickening, man.
I did see that.
I'm like, come on. Everything got to be about you.
Yep.
Everything got to be. You got. Why not just be happy for Kyrie and his situation and sort of this new leaf he's starting over and everything else, and just keep it to you're impressed with your former teammate who's shown now great leadership skills, you know, credit to Dallas. No, it's got to be me. But that's LeBron.
And
we shouldn't expect any different. But it was very quickly. Man, I can't stand that I ain't there running with him. Oh, my. If I am AD, I am so tired of this dude.
Well, here's the
truth. I'm tired of this dude.
Windhorst said it on First Take today.
Move on, AD.
Sorry, get up. That they could have created the cap space
to get Kyrie. But they would have had nothing. And they were coming off of a conference finals.
Right.
And so you could tell yourself, we're close. Really, it was fool's gold is what it was.
Yeah, that was great. That was a great job by LeBron to certainly insert himself into the discussion, as always.
Wish I was there with him.
Yep.
Where do you think AD? I'm AD, I'm just done.
He can go.
We're picking this coach because of LeBron.
He's a free agent.
We'll go over there with him. Who? AD?
LeBron.
No, LeBron. Yes, yes. That's how I would be if I'm AD. I'd be like this. Because, look,
if you love Kyrie, I'm about to go be in Dallas.
I know there's a ceiling on this with me and LeBron. If I'm going to be Lakers rest of my career,
yeah.
Y'all got to start listening to me. You don't understand what I'm saying? And we've got to. I mean, technically blow this thing up. I'd be tired of dude.
Yeah, I think everybody kind of is. I mean, JJ's going to give it a shot because, like, again, there's a reverence, you know.
Just let Dallas have a good thing. Try to insert yourself in everything. Man, to go to Cleveland and sit on the sidelines. Just stop,
yeah, what
dude.
Was that? Like, what was that
just
about?
Just stop.
I mean, you were going to really, like, entertain a return to Cleveland?
Not just sitting there on the front row.
That's not what NBA players don't do that.
What do you think them Cleveland fans think when he's sitting there? They don't need that. They're doing their thing, whatever. I mean, it was ridiculous.
Yeah,
and Savannah made it feel, what are we doing here? That was the look on her face entire time.
Because you have too much history.
Why are we back here? Yes.
You have way too much history with Cleveland, dude, to do that. It'd be like Cal coming back to a Memphis Tiger basketball game.
But that's it. He loves the speculation about him. He loves being at the center of everything and all those storylines that open up. Oh, does he want to move? Is this
exactly.
He wants to go back to
everything is calculated.
And exactly. You everything's
know?
Calculated.
But, yeah, just imagine, like, Memphis taking on, FAU at home. And, Cal's on the sidelines taking it all
Every other player, man. We ain't hearing nothing from them. And they're out of these playoffs, it's vacation time. But LeBron's got to be at the center of these NBA storylines.
He just can't.
And
help
if
himself.
He's not, he will insert himself.
He just cannot help himself. So, listen, I think it's
we both going under.
Yeah, I'm going under. I mean, could it go two? Sure, but I just don't. He's not going to be the coach post LeBron. We know that.
I don't think so.
I mean, that's just not the way that's going to go. I mean, you're going to start fresh. Because you're probably going to be in big-time rebuild mode, right? So you're going to, JJ's not going to want any part of that.
Anybody that says my focus is on as many times as JJ did and answer that question is obviously going to take a head coaching job somewhere. You know
I mean,
what I'm saying?
I guess.
You hear that from a bunch of sitting head coaches when they're asked about the next job. My focus is on right now. That's what you hear all the time when these guys are about to make that move. So I don't doubt Sean's reporting whatsoever.
Yeah. No,
even though you had JJ sending off shots and threats, or whatever that means.
Yeah, he should feel very confident in his reporting based on that exchange. I guess I understand the frustration because you wish it was your news to break, but that hasn't been the way that the world has worked in about 20 years.
He should know that.
When you are the next potential Los Angeles Lakers coach with LeBron James his last 2 years, that's going to leak. Agents are going to talk. People gossip. That's in social media. It's just the way it goes. So anyway, we have a few more things to get to. We'll do those later. In the meantime, in between time, we're going to catch up with Rachel Phillips from local Memphis. She was out there at the golf course on Monday with Penny Hardaway. So we'll get her thoughts on the Tiger basketball program. You know, just who she is, her story, all that and more. Stick around. Jason and John, 90s Turner FM, ESPN.
Y'all see NBA playoffs full steam ahead, but it's not too late for you to get in on the action over at FanDuel because right now, new customers, you get $150 in bonus bets with any winning $5. Bet FanDuel makes it easy. Just win that $5 bet and you unlock $150 in bonus bets to use on same game parlays, live bets, championship futures. Have a little fun and spread it out. You can fade Brad once we've started back tomorrow. Can't wait for that. There's no better place to bet all the playoff action than on America's number one sportsbook. Just go to FanDuel.com/JSmith to get started. Again, that's FanDuel.com/JSmith. We thank you for using that promo code with new customers getting $150 in bonus bets with any winning $5 bet. It's only on FanDuel, official sports betting partner of the NBA and, of course, of 929 FM ESPN. You must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets, which expire 7 days after receipt. Gambling problem? Call Tennessee Redline 1-800-889-9789.
Sports anchor, sports reporter for ABC 24 right here in Memphis. She was out at the golf course on Monday when Penny Hardaway had a very telling and revealing press gathering. I don't even know what you'd call it. She joins us now. Rachel, how you doing? Thanks for the time.
I'm doing great, guys. Thanks so much for having me on. I love all the sound effects I got just then. Very much appreciated.
Yeah, that's what we do. That is
that's Brad Carson.
Thank him. That's him. So, listen, you're before welcome. We get into your thoughts on the Memphis sports scene, I got to say, I knew you were here in the market, but just hearing your voice at the media gathering is just, it's striking. I admire Penny. He didn't even seem to sort of blink, right? Like he's just used to hearing the Australian accent there. But how did you wind up doing sports in the United States? Like what's the path there to get here?
I will try not to bore you with it because it really is not like a cool and entertaining story. I basically realized when I was 19, so pretty late in the game, that I wanted to do sports journalism, and that was when I was doing a 3-week exchange at Michigan State, a whole 3 weeks. was where I realized I wanted to do this. And a professor there was like, well, if you want to come back to the States and, you know, get a post-grad in journalism, you could look at some schools like ASU or Syracuse. And I was like, yeah, right, whatever. And kind of went back home and finished my undergrad degree and ended up applying for some master's programs and ended up at Arizona State and got the degree and then was just like, oh, apply for jobs in both the U.S. and Australia and ended up getting a job in El Paso, Texas. Spent 3 years there, and then just a couple months ago ended up here in Memphis.
So was it? So what were you going to school for? Because it sounds like it was not journalism. What were you?
Yeah.
What were you interested in initially?
I graduated high school at 16 with absolutely no idea what I wanted to do with my life, and I was just did a really broad degree. It was business and creative industries, which is basically art. And I changed it a little bit throughout, ended up doing mainly creative industries and graduated with a degree in that. And then here I am now.
Now, John was on the Pace Setter program in high school.
Middle school.
Okay. And so he couldn't have graduated at 16. Is that an advanced path you were on, or is that just the way it goes over there?
I was like a couple months off 17. I was just young for my year, but most people graduate at 17 or 18.
So did you watch like American sports living in Australia? Like, did you just have an interest in it? I don't know what the time zone difference is, but was it something that you just grew up loving?
The time zone difference isn't great. I was literally up at 5 a.m. this morning watching a rugby game back home, so it's never been great. No, I honestly grew up loving sports. My dad was a sports agent when I was growing up, so I was always around athletes and coaches, and that was kind of my childhood. But never American sports. That was never a thing. The first time I really watched an NFL game of any kind was back when we had a player called Jarryd Hayne. He was like the greatest rugby league player at the time, and he decided to give it all up and go give it a crack in the NFL. And he ended up getting a gig with the 49ers as a punt returner. He ended up sucking as well. But it was a massive deal in Australia that they bought the rights to every single 49ers game that season. And
wow.
So I remember sitting down and watching his first game for the 49ers. Absolutely dropped a punt cold, like went straight through the bread basket, and I was like, oh man, this is the worst thing ever. But that was the first time I really sat down and like properly watched a game. Obviously, like I think people always watch the Super Bowl and, you know, the big games, NBA Finals, right? Like they're worldwide games, but the regular season stuff, I'd never really watched a bit of it until that was kind of the first taste of it. And then when I moved to the States in 2019, I started to kind of immerse myself in and try and learn as much as possible.
Rachel, tell us about your El Paso experience. You spent 3 years there. You mentioned it. I'm curious. We spent a little bit of time in El Paso, me, former Tigers beat writer, the UCBC USA tournaments out there. What I remember, food good, but no grass. Everything was brown, rocks everywhere. In terms of your time there, what'd you think of El Paso?
I mean, that is a pretty great summary of it. Incredible food, amazing people, and then just desert landscape everywhere you look. But no, I had a great 3 years there. I moved there. I'd never really heard of the city at all. Couldn't speak a lick of Spanish, and everyone speaks Spanish there.
Right.
I still can't really speak a lick of Spanish, but I tried. It was awesome. I absolutely loved it in the end. It was really sad to leave, but just career-wise, I was like, I need to take the next step and try and evolve and grow a bit.
I remember I asked you that, really, to ask you this. I remember being there, and you could see it. You can remind me, because I could be. It's been some years. But the border, like Juarez, if I'm not mistaken, was right across the border. And they would tell us when we were out, don't go over to Juarez. Now, you seem like the adventurous type, and I'm just curious, if you're 3 years in El Paso, if you ever crossed over.
You know what's so funny? I was in Phoenix, and I got the job in El Paso, and everyone was like, whatever you do, do not go to Juarez. And I was like, okay, yep, no worries. Then I get to El Paso, my first day at work, all the guys are like, we've got to take you to Juarez. And I was like, okay, who's lying to me? But I ended up going across a heap. As long as you go across with someone who can speak Spanish and knows the lay of the land, you're good to go. But we had so many people at my workplace who lived in Juarez and would come across the border every day for work. So that kind of made me feel a bit more comfortable with it, and I had a great time. The alcohol was very cheap over there, and it was a lot of fun. I am Australian, after all. I do like a drink.
That's right. We're talking to Rachel Phillips from ABC 24 right here in Memphis, sports anchor and sports reporter. Okay, just give us your breakdown. Give us your lay of the land on the Memphis sports scene. Just what you think about the Memphis sports scene, what you've picked up, what you've noticed. Like, what's your, you know, summary of Memphis as a sports town?
The fans are very passionate about their sports here in Memphis, which I love. I think that's great. That's what you want to be covering, right, is having people passionate about what you're telling stories about. Definitely, I was told coming in, it's a basketball town, basketball king, football's kind of there, but it's basketball the way, and that certainly has proven true since I've got here. But no, it's been interesting. I mean, certainly different, right? You go from any place, not only is the city different, but the sports scene's different, and super interesting so far.
Do you find, whether you're in El Paso or now in Memphis, like, where do you get more double takes, if you get them at all, when it comes to your accent? I mean, now you're in the Deep South, right? So I imagine you still get a few when you're at the Wing Guru and maybe ordering wings or whatever else. They're like, what did you say? How often does that happen? Do you get it more so here?
I think in El Paso, everyone just kind of got used to it by the end of it. So by the end, no one was like, oh my God, your accent. Here, it's happening whenever I kind of talk to most people. It's like, where are you from? Or what's your accent? I usually try and make people guess, and that ends up not going well. Most people end up going England or Ireland or Scotland, someone said the other day. And I was like, Scotland? How on earth
we're not very smart. Yes, we're not very smart.
Most people here can't. They don't leave Memphis. You know,
they don't get out much.
we don't have much. European or overseas or kind of culture like
now,
that.
Would you? And I might be getting too deep, but some Australian sayings that maybe you still find yourself saying, and then we have no idea. Or have you? I mean, you've been here long enough now that you understand there are going to be some things we don't have. You dropped most of them, or are there still some things maybe where you drop you can't help yourself?
I try to accommodate, like, pretty often, but often it comes out that I'm saying something that's very Australian. I think I said arvo to someone the other day, and they were like, what?
Arvo.
And I was like, you got any guesses?
Arvo?
No, please use it in a sentence. I was just watching the spelling bee. please, and we'll try to guess.
We had a great arvo the other day at the baseball game.
Great time.
I mean, that's what I pulled.
Great outing.
Oh, my gosh. Afternoon.
Okay, I told you we're not smart. We're making ourselves look very bad.
No, I mean, but respectfully,
a great afternoon.
How the hell do you get to afternoon from Arbo?
I was going to say, in fairness, it's a bit of a stretch, but it makes sense in our brains, you know?
Okay. I mean, it's one of those things where, you just can't really explain the origin. It just always has been.
Yeah, always been there. I mean, honestly, most Australian words, you just chuck an O on the end or a Y, and
Give us another one. Give us another one, because I feel like we could at least hit 50%.
Maybe we can do a little better.
Okay, I'm trying to think of one that isn't too hard. What did I say the other day that someone was like, what on earth are you saying? What about, like, I'm really keen to go do this. Is that...
I'm down for this. I'd love to do this. I'm interested in this. That's easy.
Yeah. Okay. Excited. Yeah.
I mean, was like a kindergarten, tour there. I mean,
I'm trying to help you guys out a little.
Right. She went basic.
We
that's what we needed.
That's right. We did.
Let me ask you this: were you surprised? And be honest with us. When the Memphis basketball coach, right, is holding court, but he says, "I don't want to answer basketball questions."
I was a little surprised by that. Obviously, we were out there for a good cause in St. Jude and trying to raise money for the Autism Liberty Bowl. But yes, it was interesting. Because, I mean, we did just speak with Ryan Silverfield a few minutes before Penny, and he had no issues kind of answering football questions when we had them. It was a bit surprising, but I also, I'm not in his position, in his shoes, to make those calls.
What did you make of just... His tone, just sort of the things that he was saying. I mean, he was obviously asked basketball questions. Were you struck by anything particularly? Just, was it just one of those things where he didn't want to talk about basketball and he ultimately was asked about it, so that was to be expected? I'm just curious your observations there.
Yeah, I mean, that was the first time I've ever interviewed him. I've met him once really briefly, so I don't have anything to compare it to as to whether that's his usual demeanor or not. He stood there and answered them. They were short answers for sure. Didn't give us that much, but he stood there and answered them. So I give him credit for that for sure, because, he said he didn't want to answer any basketball questions and he answered them.
How much of a believer are you in Grizzlies as true contender next season?
I think if everyone stays healthy, there is a very good shot at that. Obviously, it depends what they do with this draft pick and if they end up drafting a good center or they, hold that pick and trade for something else. I think it's interesting depending on what they do with that. But I mean, they've got all the pieces, right? If everyone can stay healthy and actually compete next year, I think they got a real chance at it going deep in the playoffs at the very least.
Hey, Rachel, this was great stuff. We appreciate the education, no question about it. We're gonna brush up on our Australian here.
Yep. And a late welcome, obviously, if you've been here for a while, but late welcome for us to the Memphis media scene.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it. Next time, I expect the Aussie lingo to be up to scratch, right?
Yeah, exactly.
We'll do some more quizzes.
Yeah, no, we'll be ready. We'll be prepared. Thanks, Rachel.
Thanks, guys. Have a great day.
Yep,
you
too. She is Rachel Phillips from ABC 24 Memphis.
The Abo.
Yeah, it's what is it? Oceania. Oceania is where it's the part of the world you would say Australia is.
Those islands.
Oceania. Yeah.
Yeah. Good job.
Yeah.
You're trying to look smart now.
Well, yeah. I mean,
it's over now. We failed the test.
I had a chance when I was like in the fifth or sixth grade to do like one of those summers. You know, the exchange summers.
Yes.
And my mom really wanted me to do it. And I was like, I just don't really know anybody that's going, so I don't want to do it. That was the only chance I really think I had to, go over there. What's the closest you've been?
Just not very adventurous, were you?
What's the closest you've been to Australia, Florida?
No. I haven't been very close at all. The East Coast is as close as
I've been. Right, so Florida.
Yeah.
Have you been to Europe?
Oh, no. Not yet.
You've been to Mexico.
I'll be on the next trip with you to Serbia.
No, I
want to go meet the hammer.
The heat is turning up on that. I'm like, bro, we're not doing that.
You did say you're never going back. I don't know if you're going to hold yourself to that.
I'm not saying I won't go to Europe again, and see you, but I'm not, there's no reason for me to go back to Serbia.
I get the sense that Serbia, much like El Paso, just not a lot when it comes to
scenery. I mean, dude, you can still see the NATO bombings, bro. Like, I mean, it's not really, mm-hmm. That desirable of a destination. I mean?
What was it, Phil Jackson that said that about us, that basically called us Dresden or something?
Yes, Dresden after the war, right.
So maybe we're being a little judgmental on what we've got.
That's what I'm saying. I don't need to go to Serbia. I live in Memphis. I don't have to, I'm here. So it's just the same. I don't want to have to go to Chicago, then take a long-ass, old-looking flight to get there, I don't want to do that.
What's the Serbian thing to do? Like, you're in Chicago, you go to a Cubs game. What was it? Other than see the relatives.
Nothing. Smoke cigarettes.
They're not even like get to the sports book or there was not.
The sports book is just like everything. It's on every corner.
There's not a to do. There was not one to do thing. Sightsee something.
Yeah, they
there.
Have like old churches.
Okay. So let's go see the old church.
That's not really something that I'm like fired up to do.
Well, you can do that here in Memphis as well. Right. We've got them on every corner.
We certainly
north
do.
South Memphis.
And so it's like nothing, let's go to Greece. Let's go to Spain. Let's go to,
Right. But this was a family.
Germany
so
or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. But like he's close to all of those places. It's nothing for him. He could drive to a lot of those places.
Right, right.
I don't want to have to go back to Serbia.
You know who tells me Australia is great?
Who's that?
Matt Dillon, Tigers historian, analyst, radio analyst.
So would you take?
He's been there a bunch and just says you it needs to be bucket list type.
Yeah,
stuff
No, for
in
sure.
In terms of getting Brad, real quick, just to make sure, Europe travel, Australian travel, anything for you?
No, I've never been out of the country.
So he's like us.
I like America.
Well, like me. Yeah. John is a little bit more cultured now.
Y'all got to get out of the country,
since
man.
I got
to run a radio station.
At least go to Mexico, right? I mean, you got
to I am definitely not going to Mexico.
Go to Mexico.
No, hell no.
Juarez is different than, like, Cancun. You understand
that? Oh, yeah.
Like, what I was asking of her, they tell you literally, and she said it. Everybody in El Paso says, don't go.
And even Cancun, you're just on the resort, bro. Like, you're
not, that was easy. Come on.
Yeah, but I'm just...
It's not same.
No, it's not. No, it's not at all. You don't have to worry about the cartel coming to your damn...
Juarez, you better have a group.
Oh, well, I'm not going to Juarez, okay? That's not happening. I'm not going to Mexico City. I'm not going to... I'm dumb, but I ain't stupid, okay? I've seen Funky Town. I ain't going down there. I mean, come on. Mm-hmm. But, like, in terms of, Serbia was cool, but I wouldn't go back. I mean, it's just, it's one of those things.
Yeah.
I want to go see, I want to go to England to the pub. That's when I'll really reconnect with my people.
It needs to be a while before you taking more time off. But maybe down the road.
I'll do the show from England, man.
Like Penny, five or 10 years from now.
Yeah. I think about more time off daily.
Yeah, you're like that. What was that movie, Office Space? Like it's like you're hypnotized. You're now enjoying being off.
No, I enjoy doing the work. I enjoy doing the work. But
I am on a
self-discovery quest.
Do you feel good here, third day back?
I feel good.
Ready to get through the summer?
Here's the reality. If you guys want me to be totally transparent, the sports calendar is absolutely, it's whack. It's whack.
We know. We see what's on ESPN every night.
You're coming in here wearing WNBA sweatshirts. I don't know if you're trying to promote.
Again, this is just an orange Nikes. You've done this for the second time now.
I didn't get into, respectfully,
this is old material.
Sports radio to talk about the WNBA, but that's all my job is boiled down to. You know,
don't hate. We will cancel if you don't like women's sports.
I know. Angel Reese went 3 of 12 last night. I get it. Most of those shots at the rim.
They kicked her out.
Must see TV.
They kicked her out unfairly.
Yeah, they kicked her out unfairly. Lonzo Ball's going to pay the fine. I get it, man. There was, speaking of Australia, there was an absolutely bonkers story, and it's related to the Jontay Porter betting scandal. This thing has gotten out of control. They're going to make a movie about this, folks. They're going to make a movie about this.
So much has been inspired by this scandal, including the segment Fade Brad.
Yeah, so that's true. That's true. The legacy, it grows. So I'll give you the latest twist in how Australia
that's
is involved in the Jontay Porter betting scandal. When we get back, Jason and John, on Detroit FM, ESPN. All right, we do have some breaking news on a commitment to Memphis that we'll get to in the rundown and more. But Jontay Porter, as many remember, was banned for life from the NBA for his role in basically taking a dive, working with a group and essentially racketeering and conspiring to hit up sports books and multi-million-dollar parlays to take his under. Now, why these sports books were offering unders on a 9th, 10th man, you know, that I think is probably something that internally those discussions are being had by these sports books, right?
And yeah.
It's like who
maybe lead to some change.
Who needs to offer over-unders on John Conchar? Right, that just seems like a recipe for disaster. But the latest in this story is he actually did this, Jontay Porter did, because he himself, according to reports, and according to, I guess it's not even a report, it's federal, you know, the FBI, he owed bookies money, did Jontay Porter.
Mm.
And this was his way of paying them back, saying, hey, I'm going to play in this game, right?
Yeah.
And you take my unders here, and that's the way we're going to do. That's the way we're going to pay each other back and be square, basically. And so that happened in two different dates, actually. There was a January date, and that was successful to the tune of about 80,000-ish. But then they got greedy, and they came back a second time, and they won for $1 million. And that's when, and stuff. They would have just taken the 80 quietly, you know? They would have been fine. It would have just been like a – because he came out of the game, right? He had suffered an eye injury the week of.
Right.
And he played in the next game, but basically took himself out because he said he re-aggravated it. And then he tried to do the same thing 2 months later, and that's when it was like, okay, all right, pal, something's up here. On two nights where you had a ton of liability.
Had the 80 paid off the debt?
I guess that is unclear.
And when you say got greedy and went back.
That is unclear. Don't know that. It doesn't specify in the report.
You know, even more foolish.
Yeah.
Obviously, if you were done.
Yeah. So it does not specify in that sense.
Makes sense why you would be willing to risk it, though.
No question.
Because you're already in trouble.
You're in big debt.
Yeah.
You're in big debt. There was also the other part of this is as federal, prosecutors are going after everybody involved. Mm-hmm. Long Phi Pham, who was known as Bruce, who was the debtor in this situation, he was arrested on Monday trying to board a flight from JFK to Australia on a one-way ticket. And he had $12,000 cash and two cashier's checks of $80,000 each. So bro was this close to going to Australia and starting a brand new life. Because here's the deal. If he gets out that airport, nobody would recognize him.
Should have gone to Mexico first.
Fly out of Mexico?
Yes. They were looking for you at the airports.
And what about Canada?
Either way.
Yeah.
Fly out of Canada. Out of the U.S.
Right.
Then fly 'cause
they
out.
Were, they were, he had been questioned.
Uh-huh.
He was definitely a person of interest.
More foolishness.
But yeah, what's interesting is that, I mean, Jontay texted this group chat he was in and said that y'all might get hit with a RICO.
Oh, my goodness.
If y'all don't, you know, make sure y'all delete everything from your phones. Porter, as we know, placed at least 13 bets on NBA games using somebody else's account. Bets ranged from $15,000 to $22,000. He was obviously disclosing confidential information to these sports bettors, and he was throwing his own player performance to pay these debts back.
That whole family, the dad, the mom.
Yeah.
Everything that's happened to those two brothers.
Yeah. You were so close, dog. Dude was so close to starting a whole new... Because he would have never been found in Australia if he gets there, right? I mean, nobody would know the difference. It's not like the U.S. is going to extradite him. I mean, they're not even going to know where to look.
Yeah, you can get lost over there.
And he's not like wanted on, you know, capital murder or anything like that. I mean, if it would have been something like that, I think maybe. But because it was just a gambling wire fraud situation deal... He would have been able to start a brand new life, you know, $100,000+ over there. I mean, he would have been able to do it. And now he's going to spend 20 years in jail probably.
You telling me he just thought he could fly out? You've already been questioned. You're using your regular passport and everything else. You think you can skip it and get out beforehand?
Clearly,
that was dumb.
He clearly thought that.
Switch it up. Use a different passport.
Right.
They've already questioned you. You know the heat's on. You got Jonte telling you this thing's over.
Yes.
Take the beat. But criminals typically end up being dummies.
Yeah, I mean, they're texting about all this on the phone. He can't be that smart.
Right.
You know, I would have just done the first one, though. Like, if I'm going to do it.
If it paid off the debt.
Yeah, and there was no.
But you're saying, in addition, and you added it at the end, and this is where I get a little bit lost, he did 13 other bets himself with another?
Yeah, Jonte was doing bets on his own.
Sounds like, you know, maybe even the million was extra. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
He said, he was getting lost in it is what it sounds like
exactly.
to me. So maybe the going back and all that was just out of greed as opposed to you owe more that, you know, you needed
I think that's probably true.
Another million.
I mean, I think it's obviously the fact that you're willing to tank your NBA career to pay off debts obviously means that you have a gambling problem, you know? I mean, that's because he was an NBA player. He was on a roster.
Oh, he's fringe guy, so limited earnings.
That's how he looked at it.
It was fine. I mean, you're coming from a family. Your brother's done well for himself. You're a pro.
But, like, I think
you throw it all away.
What I would have done in that situation, and I've never been in that situation, thankfully, but I think I would have just gone to my brother and said, hey, I got in a jam, and I need you to help me, as opposed to tanking what I have left of my NBA career. Because it may be at least I could have 3 to 4 more years as an NBA player.
I bet you he did it. I bet bro said, look, I can't help you anymore.
Man, tough crowd. I mean, maybe.
Right?
I don't know.
Wonder how many times he's hit to get in the trouble he was in.
Yeah.
How far back does this go? Maybe he's got a gambling problem that his brothers told him to get help for.
That would make sense. I don't know.
I get it. You know, you would think a brother at that point, you think your brother's really in trouble. You're just going to go in front the money, take care of it. But maybe this is a situation where Big Bro was.
Yeah.
Michael's still Big Bro, right?
I think so.
Yeah.
I got to brush up on my Porter history.
I think he was the younger one. You tell him, look, I'm done helping you. I mean, that could have been the point that this was at.
Absolutely.
Because that seems too obvious that you go to brother for help. He's got it.
But this is a movie for sure. I mean, this would be a very entertaining movie. Like how Jonte got tied up, how he met him, how he got in trouble, how the discussion was made and had to throw the games themselves. Like, you know, then the attempted ESPN. All right, we do have some breaking news on a commitment to Memphis that we'll get to in the rundown and more. But Jonte Porter, as many remember, was banned for life from the NBA for his role in basically taking a dive, working with a group and essentially racketeering and conspiring to hit up sports books and multi-million-dollar parlays to take his under. Now, why these sports books were offering unders on a 9th, 10th man, you know, that I think is probably something that internally those discussions are being had by these sports books, right?
And yeah.
It's like who would
lead to some change.
Who needs to offer over-unders on John Conchar, right? That just seems like a recipe for disaster. But the latest in this story is he actually did this, Jonte Porter did, because he himself, according to reports, and according to, I guess it's not even a report, it's federal you know, federal, the FBI, he owed bookies money, did Jontay Porter.
Mm.
And this was his way of paying them back, saying, hey, I'm going to play in this game, right?
Yeah.
And you take my unders here, and that's the way we're going to do. That's the way we're going to pay each other back and be square, basically. And so that happened in two different dates, actually. There was a January date, and that was successful to the tune of about 80,000-ish. But then they got greedy, and they came back a second time, and they won for $1 million. And that's when and so if they had just take the 80 quietly, you know, they would have been fine. It would have just been like a, because he came out of the game, right? He had suffered an eye injury the week of,
right?
And he played in the next game, but basically took himself out because he said he re-aggravated it. And then he tried to do the same thing 2 months later, and that's when it was like, okay, all right, pal, something's up here. On two nights where you had a ton of liability.
Had the 80 paid off the debt?
I guess that is unclear.
And you, when you say got greedy and went back.
That is unclear. Don't know that. It doesn't specify in the report. You know,
even more foolish.
Yeah.
Obviously, if you were done.
Yeah. So it does not specify in that sense.
Makes sense why you would be willing to risk it, though.
No question.
Because you're already in trouble.
You're in big debt.
Yeah.
You're in big debt. There was also the other part of this is, as federal, you know, prosecutors are going after everybody involved. Mm-hmm. Long Phi Pham, who was known as Bruce, who was the debtor in this situation, he was arrested on Monday trying to board a flight from JFK to Australia on a one-way ticket. And he had $12,000 cash and two cashier's checks of $80,000 each. So bro was this close to going to Australia and starting a brand new life. Because here's the deal. If he gets out that airport, nobody would recognize him.
Should have gone to Mexico first.
Fly to Mexico?
Yes. They were looking for you at the airports.
And what about Canada?
Either way.
Yeah.
Fly to Canada. Out of the U.S.
Right.
Then fly
out. Because he had been questioned.
Uh-huh.
So he was definitely a person of interest.
More foolishness.
But yeah, what's interesting is that, I mean, Jontay texted this group chat he was in,
yes,
and said that y'all might get hit with a RICO.
Oh my goodness!
If y'all don't, you know, make sure y'all delete everything from your phones. Porter, as we know, placed at least 13 bets on NBA games using somebody else's account. Bets ranged from $15,000 to $22,000. He was obviously disclosing confidential information to these sports bettors, and he was throwing his own player performance to pay these debts back.
That whole family, the dad, the mom.
Yeah.
Everything that's happened to those two brothers.
Yeah. You were so close, dog. Dude was so close to starting a whole new, because he would have never been found in Australia if he gets there, right? I mean, nobody would know the difference. It's not like the U.S. is going to extradite him. I mean, they're not even going to know where to look.
Yeah, you can get lost over there.
And he's not like wanted on, you know, capital murder or anything like that.
I mean,
if it would have been something like that, I think maybe. But because it was just a gambling wire fraud situation deal, he would have been able to start a brand new life. You know, $100,000+ over there. I mean, he would have been able to do it. And now he's going to spend 20 years in jail probably.
You're telling me he just thought he could fly out? You've already been questioned. You're using your regular passport and everything else. You think you can skip it and get out beforehand?
Clearly,
that was dumb.
He clearly thought that.
Switch it up. Use a different passport.
Right.
They've already questioned you. You know the heat's on. You got Jontay telling you this thing's over.
Yes.
Take the beat. But criminals typically end up being dummies.
Yeah, I mean, they're texting about all this on the phone. He can't be that smart.
Right.
You know, I would have just done the first one, though. Like, if I'm going to do it.
Especially if it paid off the debt.
Yeah, and there was no, you know.
You're saying, in addition, and you added it at the end, and this is where I get a little bit lost, he did 13 other bets himself with another?
Yeah, Jontay was doing bets on his own in addition to.
It sounds like, you know, maybe even the million was extra. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
He had He said, "You know what? It sounds like he was getting lost. Yeah, he was getting lost in it. Is what it sounds like to me. So maybe the going back and all that was just out of greed, as opposed to you owe more that you know you needed.
I think that's probably true.
Another million.
I mean, I think it's obviously the fact that you're willing to tank your NBA career to pay off debts obviously means that you have a gambling problem. You know, I mean that's because he was an NBA player. He was on a roster.
Oh, he was in, but he, I mean, he's a fringe guy, so limited earnings.
That's how he looked at it.
It was fine. I mean, you're coming from a family. Your brother's done well for himself.
Yes.
You know, you're a pro.
But, like, I think
you throw it all away.
What I would have done in that situation, and I've never been in that situation, thankfully, but I think I would have just gone to my brother and said, hey, I got in a jam, and I need you to help me, as opposed to tanking what I have left of my NBA career. Because it may be at least I could have 3 to 4 more years as an NBA player.
I bet you he did it. I bet bro said, look, I can't help you anymore.
Damn, tough crowd. I mean, maybe. Right? I don't know. I
wonder how many times he's hit to get in the trouble he was in.
Yeah.
How far back does this go? Maybe he's got a gambling problem that his brother's told him to get help for.
That would make sense. I don't know.
I get it. You know, you would think a brother at that point, you think your brother's really in trouble. You're just going to go in, front the money, take care of it. But maybe the situation where big bro was.
Yeah.
Michael's still big bro, right?
I think so.
Yeah.
I got to brush up on my Porter history.
I think he was the younger one. You tell him, look, I'm done helping you. I mean, that could have been the point that this was at.
Absolutely.
Because that seems too obvious that you go to brother for help. He's got it.
But this is a movie for sure. I mean, this would be a very entertaining movie. Like how Jontay got tied up, how he met him, how he got in trouble, how the discussion was made and had to throw the games themselves. Like, you know, then the attempted